From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. This Halloween, lock the doors, turn on all the lights. We reveal these scary secrets behind nursery rhymes. We'll start with an idea to use technology in the fight against Ebola. Only two people in the U.S. have ever contracted the virus. Both were Dallas nurses who dealt directly with the bodily fluids of Thomas Eric Duncan. In West Africa, hundreds of healthcare workers have died. One challenge, how to create distance between the virus and the healthcare worker. KERA's Lauren Silverman traveled to College Station, where researchers are trying to slow down Ebola with robots.
Meet the PackBot 510. It looks like a mini tank with a long, extendable arm, a camera, and a claw-like gripper.
And this is one of the classic robots that are used for hazardous material.
Robin Murphy is the godmother of emergency robotics. She runs the Center for Robot-Assisted Search and Rescue at Texas A&M. Murphy's been to more than a dozen disaster sites, from Hurricane Katrina to Fukushima. And where she can't set foot because of radiation or mudslides, she sends in robots.
We've really looked at the more classic search and rescue, and we've talked about medical disasters, but more from the sense of a chemical spill or radiological like Fukushima.
The Ebola epidemic is a different kind of disaster, which calls for different kinds of robots.
One thing is, can they be telepresence? Can they be supervisors and advisors? Can they handle waste? Can they help carry the bodies in a culturally sensitive way to the burial?
That's right. The idea of a mortuary robot is gaining momentum. See, when people die of Ebola, they are highly infectious, and it takes several people to carry a body. Existing robots could do that work. With a redesign, this isn't moving radioactive material. It's carrying a loved one.
So think of one of those bobcats, those little small construction pieces of gear. But now, instead of having a scoop, because I would be horrified if any of my relatives were just scooped up in there. Think about now replacing that scoop with a coffin or sarcophagus. Perhaps our architecture department is looking at how to make it look nicer, more affirming.
In hospitals, robots could be used to detect contamination, monitor healthcare workers taking off protective suits, or to disinfect equipment.
The opportunities are almost endless, but technology is still limited, plus they are still expensive.
Dr. Bertalan Meshko wrote The Guide to the Future of Medicine. He lives in Hungary, and he's hopeful about an Austin-designed robot being used in hundreds of hospitals across the country. It's called Little Mo.
And what it does is that it goes into a room, and by using pulses of xenon light, it can disinfect all the surfaces in one room in just a few minutes' time. Therefore, such a robot, for example, could be used to disinfect tents or whole hospital rooms, but it takes time and effort to get them to the actual locations.
And nearly $100,000 apiece. To come up with cheaper and quicker ways to unleash robots on Ebola, the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy is holding a series of brainstorming events. The first at Texas A&M will be November 7th. Of course, robots alone won't be enough to stop Ebola. The robots will have to team up with healthcare workers. Meshko says this is new territory.
There is not enough evidence behind using robots in stopping such disease outbreaks, but this case could be used as a study to measure the real effectiveness and success of the method for future cases.
The search is on to find a way to use robots to tackle Ebola without losing the human touch. Lauren Silverman, KERA News.
Another jab today in the Bernadette Nuttall Mike Miles tussle. The Dallas school board member filed an official oppression complaint against the superintendent with the Dallas County District Attorney's Office. KERA's Bill Zeeble has the story.
More than 2 weeks ago, Dallas Superintendent Mike Miles was in Dade Middle School early in the morning for a meeting about leadership changes he'd just ordered at the campus. Trustee Nuttall was there, too. Miles says she shouldn't have been and ordered officers to remove her. Here's how she described it last week.
I've never been manhandled by police before. I've never been manhandled. My offense is getting a speeding ticket and taking defensive driving, so I've never been manhandled by policemen.
School Board President Miguel Solis thought this had been diffused after a closed meeting last week. His plan, a series of open meetings to create policies that would head off future confrontation. Today, he was surprised Nuttall filed the complaint, but he's sticking to his plan.
We have an opportunity, I believe, next week to have an open and an honest conversation as a board at large as it relates to big issues like governance and management.
The DA's office is reviewing Nuttall's complaint to see if it fits the official oppression category, a Class A misdemeanor. If so, it would go to a grand jury, which would decide whether to bring charges. Nuttall didn't respond to a request for comment today. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
And now... You think a horror movie is scary? This Halloween, try a nursery rhyme. KERA's Courtney Collins digs into the darkness.
This familiar lullaby has coaxed babies to sleep for generations. The lilting melody is sweet and soothing, and the simple repetition of the tune feels warm and familiar. Add in the lyrics, and Rock-a-bye Baby takes a turn.
When the bell breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby, cradle and all.
Decoding nursery rhymes is a specialty of UNT English professor Justin Jones.
It was really kind of up in the air, pun intended, whether or not your child would make it past the first 6 months of life. And so, you know, the rock-a-bye baby notion was to kind of familiarize people with the notion that new life doesn't mean survival.
That's more than vaguely grim. So why do music boxes and crib mobiles still feature this haunting little piece?
It's to remind them as they sleep, you might be dead tomorrow, you know, as horrifying as that is. It's never too early to start instilling that lesson in mortality, I suppose.
And then there's Sing a Song of Sixpence. Sounds pretty whimsical, right?
Sing a song of sixpence, pocket full of rye, for and 20 blackbirds baked in a pie.
Blackbird pie was an actual dish. That's a little icky to 2014 palates, but the real meaning behind the rhyme concerns Henry VIII and the treacherous way he would take over church land.
He would often find someone on the inside at the monasteries, and get them to basically sneak away with the deed to the land. And one of the more common ways that he did that was that he had them baked into pies.
And from there, Sing a Song of Sixpence gets none the better.
The maid was in the garden, hanging out the clothes. Along came a blackbird and snipped off her nose.
Apparently, that's a reference to Henry VIII's unfortunate wives.
It's a little bit on the nose to have a beheading in the nursery rhyme, but it's sufficient to say that her nose was clipped off in a kind of euphemistic way of describing her beheading.
So far, we've covered murder, theft, and infant mortality. Next up, a rhyme perfect for Halloween.
Peter, Peter, pumpkin eater, had a wife and couldn't keep her. Put her in a pumpkin shell, and there he kept her very well.
The gist of it is that he is an overbearing man who needs to find a way to control the appetites of his wife, suggested that they were sexual appetites, by more or less just keeping her his own personal prisoner.
We don't have time to break them all down, but here's the lightning round. Jack B. Nimble was performing a pagan ritual. Humpty Dumpty was actually a deadly cannon. Yankee Doodle was a British song about the ineptitude of American soldiers. And Ring Around the Rosie? A nod to the bubonic plague. Not exactly the stuff of sweet dreams. So why do we insist on reading them to children?
As long as you don't really imbue them with much meaning, they are, in and of themselves, fun to say.
So unless you're a glutton for gore, the next time you read the poem, Merry, Merry, Quite Contrary, just try and block out the fact that silver bells and cockle shells are actually instruments of execution. Sleep tight. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
A big thanks to our nursery rhyme reader, first grader Charlie Milne, who turned 7 this week. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.